A lot in the news today from the Clinton Journal, and this is Pat. I'm reading from the issue of Friday, June the 26th. Townships again face road maintenance delays, Gordon Woods reporting. A problem cited by the township road commissioners in 2025 has apparently resurfaced this year, according to representatives for the townships, and they say it is again is causing similar delays to last year. Mark Cerulic and Kim Gaff, representing township road commissioners, addressed the county board on June the 18th about what they said was a lack of communications between county and township officials concerning the availability of MFT funds to pay for the annual road maintenance. Motor fuel tax MFT funds are allocated annually by the Illinois Department of Transportation, IDOT, to pay for the summer season road maintenance on county roads and streets in municipalities. A delay in the filing of paperwork by the county in 2025 caused township road maintenance to fall behind schedule. Cerulic and Gaff said the same lack of communications was causing the same problem this year. We had a meeting right after the county hired a Springfield engineering firm, Cerulic said. In that meeting, it was stated the bids would be done by April. Then we had a second meeting with IDOT to learn what money was coming in for each township, what the county got, and what you could use that money for. Cerulic said township and county board members were invited to the meeting, but that no county board members attended. He said a third meeting was scheduled after the money was allocated. Cerulic said a lack of communications about oil purchases resulted in only two townships performing oiling on their roads last season. So we're back to square one with no communication, Cerulic said. And if we still have a contract with the Springfield engineering firm, why are we waiting now in June? We're going to be into July, forcing road commissioners to buy special oil and burn up more money than it have been done prior to April or even January. He suggested having details worked out in January would have made it possible for the road commissioners to begin their maintenance work the first part of June. Gaff said the townships received assurances that sufficient time existed for the county to file all necessary IDOT paperwork for the annual MFT fund use. Gaff said she was at a township meeting with Cerulic, during which they learned that funds would be delayed. And of course, this is money from 2025 that is sitting here paying interest for you, the county, that we are not going to see, Gaff told county board members. Gaff said what primarily made her angry was the assurances that all this stuff was going to be taken care of. Local car show draws more than 250 visitors. Clinton. The C.H. Moore Homestead DeWitt County Museum welcomed a strong turnout on June the 14th for Classic American Car Show, one of the many special events taking place throughout 2026 as part of America 250 at the Homestead, celebrating 250 years of American history. More than 200 visitors attended the event, enjoying a lineup of 58 vehicle entries spanning eight decades from the 1940s through the 2020s. Guests explored the museum grounds while admiring classic antique, vintage, and specialty vehicles that highlighted America's enduring automobile heritage. The Best of Show trophy was awarded to Roger Zook of Hayworth for his restored 1950 GMC pickup. The award was sponsored and presented by DeWitt County Museum Association Board of Directors member Mike Spencer of Spencer's Supershine. The Classic American Car Show is one of the numerous programs taking place each month throughout 2026 as part of the museum's year-long America 250 celebration. Events include presentations, live music, family activities, horse-drawn carriage rides, special exhibits, and seasonal programs designed to honor the nation's milestone year. These events are made possible through efforts of the DeWitt County Museum Association, America 250 at the Homestead. For more information about this or any upcoming America 250 at the Homestead events, call 217-935-6066. And another story on the 250 celebration. Clinton celebrates America 250 July 3rd through 5th. Clinton's celebration of the United States' 250th birthday will be held from July 3rd through 5th, 2026, on Mr. Lincoln Square. A packed schedule for the whole family with no admission fee is planned. The celebration will kick off on Friday, July the 3rd at 5:30 p.m. with the live music and Clinton trivia. Saturday, July the 4th will be jam-packed with events from 8 a.m. 5K race to the 10 a.m. parade to the 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. family fun zone with bounce houses, a zip line, an exotic petting zoo, free snacks, and more. Also on Saturday, contests and races, a talent show, a sword swallower, and more live music is scheduled until 8 p.m. Sunday, July the 5th, will start with an interdenominational church service at 10 a.m., followed by a pioneer play area for kids, an antique car show, a blood drive. Live music will kick off at 12 p.m. and goes to 5 p.m. Fireworks will start at dusk near Clinton High School. The committee thanks all of the sponsors and community partners that have made this free event possible. Demolition cleanup. Workers perform cleanup on properties bought by the city for demolition at the 100 block of East Main Street. The buildings were earlier declared unsafe, and there are two pictures here of the buildings being totally demolished. The final story from the front page is Clinton murder suspect denied pretrial release. Nicholas L. Smith, 35, of Clinton, remains in jail after DeWitt County judge denied Smith release pending his trial related to the death of his wife, Cassandra N. Smith. Smith is charged with 5 counts of murder. Smith's attorney, Daniel Clifton, argued for Smith's release pending his scheduled August 10th jury trial. State's Attorney Dan Markwell had earlier filed a petition to deny Smith pretrial release. During a hearing on June 15th, Circuit Judge Carl Koritz ruled that detention of Smith was still necessary. A Class M felony in Illinois, first-degree murder, carries sentencing of from 20 to 60 years in prison or a life sentence, if aggravated factors are present. Life without parole is the maximum sentence. Smith also is charged with concealing a homicidal death, obstructing justice by destroying evidence, and obstruction of an officer, Class 3, Class 4, and a Class A misdemeanor, respectively. On April the 24th, Clinton police responded to an address for a welfare check. A missing and endangered persons alert for Cassandra N. Smith was issued. On Saturday, April the 25th, Clinton Police Department requested assistance from the Illinois State Police Zone 5 investigations. Search warrants were executed on multiple properties and vehicles as part of an ongoing investigation. Cassandra Smith's body was later discovered in a vehicle of interest near Sunrise Drive. Nicholas Smith was later taken into custody. And in the news, Clinton student named to Wartburg College Dean's List. Drew Moser of Clinton has been named to the 2026 Winter May Term Dean's List at Wartburg College. The college recognized 507 students for academic achievement during the winter and May terms. To qualify for the Dean's List, students must earn a cumulative grade point average of 3.5 or higher in at least 5 course credits during the terms. 4 of the 5 course credits must be graded with a traditional letter grade, Wartburg students complete 4 courses during the winter term, which runs from January through April, and 1 course during the 1-month May term. Clinton student on President's list at Washburn University. Caitlin Mahoney of Clinton has been named to the Spring 2026 President's List at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas. The President's List recognizes undergraduate students who complete at least 12 hours of graded coursework and earn a perfect 4.0 grade point average during the semester. More than 800 students qualified for the honor during the Spring 2026 semester. June 11th, storm damage. There is a picture here of the Ameren contractors dragging a tree limb off the street along South Mulberry Street. The limb came down during the Thursday, June 11th storm, pulling out a guy wire, causing power lines to drop. Power was restored to the area by Saturday morning. And another picture, damage to a building under construction in Wapella caused by the storm the week earlier, and it appears that structure is completely flattened. And from our op-ed page, the On Point column by Richard Koritz, Illinois, the downside. This past week, Illinois has received a lot of national press. Unfortunately, most of it has been the negative variety. 2 events were discussed. Tornado Alley. For years, Kansas has been the state known for tornadoes and the destruction that can entail. Unfortunately, Illinois looks to be taking the lead as the national Tornado Alley. Illinois averages just over 50 tornadoes a year. This year, we are pushing 160, and the tornado season is not over. The local television stations are to be commended for their efforts over the past week in keeping the public informed about where the storms were and when people needed to take cover. Regrettably, 2 lost their lives in Dix, Illinois, and 5 others were hospitalized when a tornado destroyed the mobile home they were staying in. Mobile homes are normally a very economical means of achieving housing. That is, until a storm arrives and they become death traps. The public simply needs to remember the risks of staying in a mobile home during a tornado event and take the appropriate safety precautions. Tornadoes are simply extremely dangerous events that society cannot control. Homicides are another issue. Chicago again made the news as the crime center in this country. 5 individuals were shot to death in Chicago this past weekend. 29 additional individuals were shot in Chicago. What a sad way to celebrate Juneteenth and the opening of Obama's library in Chicago. That level of violence simply speaks to the failure of Illinois, and Chicago in particular, to control the criminal element in the city. The level of violence also speaks to a level of societal indifference to the value of human life found in today's North Korea or Nazi Germany. Governor Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Johnson seem to have a misguided view of the justice system in that they want to open up the city and state to all, regardless of an individual or group's propensity to commit violence on our fellow citizens. Trump has offered to help by basically putting the National Guard on every street corner to try to enforce the law. I am more inclined to accept the Trump approach than the Pritzker-Johnson approach, but both approaches have serious flaws when you take each position to its logical conclusion. The Pritzker-Johnson approach invites anarchy, which is simply another word for chaos, in which true survival of the fittest eventually occurs. The Trump approach risks society becoming a police state and the individual living in fear. Both groups are entrenched in their positions and seldom consider those things called common sense and middle ground. Often when we look at problems, we fail to see some answers right in front of us. Chicago and Illinois may have an answer in the Chicago South Side preacher named Corey Brooks. I've been reading some of his articles lately, and he intrigues me. Brooks is a black minister who certainly is not afraid of the spotlight or in shining the spotlight on causes he supports. You may have seen him on the news because he is the minister who spent a year on a Chicago rooftop to combat gang violence. He is also the pastor who conducted a walk across America to raise funds for a youth center in Chicago. Brooks emphasizes faith in God, hard work, and family responsibilities and community. Hardened gang members have become some of his best voices for change in Chicago. Brooks' approach is one of common sense and a willingness to talk to those aggrieved. Brooks is certainly not politically correct, but his goal is to correct the behavior of those who wish to destroy this country. Perhaps Illinois and Chicago should listen to an old preacher boy who is not seeking gain or praise for himself, but rather simply to share the gospel and improve his community. The cynic in me cannot help but observe that Brooks' approach is a whole lot cheaper than either the Trump or Pritzker Johnson approaches. Think about it. Richard Koretz is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And now from the columns page. The Prairie Doc. Dementia and Home Safety. Tips for Caregivers by Ranelle Neeson, Ph.D., and Allison Neighbor, Ph.D. Caregivers of people with dementia are often tasked with keeping their loved ones safe at home. Unpaid family members or friends, referred to as care partners or caregivers, dedicate significant time and resources to assist the person with dementia as their needs intensify. Caregivers may find themselves providing increased assistance with everyday tasks like cooking, cleaning, and self-care tasks like dressing, bathing, and toileting. This is often due to a decline in the person with dementia's awareness of time and place, ability to solve problems or assess situations, and strength and mobility and senses such as vision, hearing, or depth perception. These declines also put people living with Alzheimer's disease and other related dementias at increased risks of injury, especially as the disease progresses. Caregivers can take steps to create a safe and home environment that minimizes the risk of injury or harm while maximizing the person's independence for as long as possible. First, organize important information, including insurance information, names and contact information for healthcare providers, medications and allergies, emergency contact numbers, legal papers such as living wills, advance directives, and power of attorney, and contact information for friends and family members. Next, assess the home and outdoor spaces for potential barriers such as uneven terrain or thresholds, poor lighting, chemicals or other potentially hazardous items. Once safety concerns are identified, caregivers can implement helpful strategies and adaptations to keep their loved ones safe, including checking the temperature of food and beverages and bath water, removing throw rugs, cords, and other items that could cause someone to fall, installing adaptive equipment in the bathroom, like grab bars or shower curtains, adding extra lighting or night lights in entryways, stairwells, bathrooms, and hallways, using a hidden breaker or gas valve, or removing knobs to limit the use of a stove when unattended, storing hazardous items or tools in secure location, locking up medications and supplements. Some people living with dementia may exhibit wandering behaviors, such as forgetting how to get to familiar places in the home or community, talking about past obligations like going to work, restlessness or pacing, or being nervous in crowded or new locations, structured routine, exercise or movement, deadbolts or locks on upper doors and cabinets, and increased supervision or support can decrease the risk of wandering. While the journey with dementia brings many challenges, creating a safe home can help foster peace of mind for everyone involved, a sense of purpose and connection through participation in familiar routines, favorite activities, and nurturing relationships with family and friends can promote safety, comfort, and quality of life for people living with Alzheimer's disease or other related dementias. If you or someone you love is impacted by Alzheimer's disease or other related dementias, resources are available through organizations such as the Alzheimer's Association, the Veterans Affairs, as well as the state agencies as the Department of Human Services. No one needs to face this journey alone. These organizations provide education, home safety checklists, and recommendations, extra help in the home, and support groups. Check with your state to see what resources may be available to you. Ronell Neeson, Ph.D., serves as an associate dean and associate professor in the School of Health Sciences at the University of South Dakota. Neeson is a licensed occupational therapist in South Dakota. She has helped families and individuals affected by dementia through both her professional work and her volunteer work with the South Dakota Alzheimer's Association. Allison Neighbor, a Ph.D., is the Academic Fieldwork Coordinator and an Associate Professor in Occupational Therapy at the University of South Dakota. Neighbor is a licensed occupational therapist in Minnesota and South Dakota. She volunteers for the South Dakota Alzheimer's Association as a support group facilitator and community educator. Also in our columns, What to Do When Medical Bills Pile Up, by Jim Miller. Dear Savvy Senior, I am 63 and recently had a hospital stay that left me with bills I can't afford to pay. I had Affordable Care Act health insurance, but after my premiums went up in January, I had to drop my coverage. Now I'm overwhelmed by medical bills. What can I do? Struggling patient. Dear struggling, you're definitely not alone. Medical debt is very common, and 1 in 12 Americans are dealing with it, and many had insurance when the bills started piling up. The good news is there are ways to reduce what you owe and make it more manageable. Here's some ways that can help. Check your bills. Medical billing errors are more common than you might think, so start by taking a close look at every bill and explanation of benefits you receive. Watch for duplicate charges, services you did not receive, or prices that seem off. If something does not look right, call your provider's billing office and ask for an itemized bill. Do not be shy about asking questions. Even small mistakes can add up. Ask about help. Most hospitals, especially nonprofit ones, are required to offer financial assistance programs, often called charity care. Depending on your income, you may qualify to have part or even all of your bill forgiven. Call the hospital billing office and ask specifically about financial assistance. You can also visit dollarfor.org. That's dollarfor.org, a nonprofit that helps patients apply for charity care programs at no cost. Negotiate costs. If you do not qualify for assistance, you still have options. Many hospitals and doctors are willing to work with patients, especially if you reach out early. Ask if they can lower the bill or offer a discount if you can pay something up front. You can also request a no-interest payment plan to spread the cost out over time. If this feels overwhelming, a medical billing advocate can help. The Alliance of Professional Health Advocates at AFAAdvocates.org can connect you with professionals who review bills and negotiate on your behalf. Find programs. Since you recently lost coverage, it is also worth checking whether you qualify for Medicaid, especially if your income has dropped. You can apply through healthcare.gov or your state Medicaid office. Another helpful tool is benefitscheckup.org from the National Council on Aging, which can point you to programs that help lower health care and prescription costs. That's the National Council on Aging, and theirs is benefits checkup.org. Get support. You do not have to handle this on your own. There are several trusted organizations that offer free or low-cost help. The Patient Advocate Foundation provides case management services and can help you find financial assistance. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling offers nonprofit credit counseling and guidance on managing debt. You can also visit needymeds.org to locate programs that can help lower the cost of prescriptions and other medical expenses. The most important thing is to act sooner rather than later. Ignoring medical bills can lead to collections and added stress, but many providers are willing to work with you if you reach out. Start by reviewing your bills, then explore assistance programs and payment options. With some persistence, you can often lower what you owe and set up a plan that fits your budget. Medical debt is common, even among people who had insurance, but it is often negotiable and there are real resources available to help you through it. Clinton Resident helps turn military sacrifice into a song at Freedom Sings USA Retreat. Hayworth, a Clinton woman whose family made the ultimate sacrifice for the nation, helped create one of the six original songs unveiled during the recent Freedom Sings USA Central Illinois Veterans Retreat in Hayworth. Joanne Manley, a Gold Star spouse from Clinton, collaborated with veteran songwriters Don Goodman and Steve Dean on Bittersweet Beautiful Memory, a song inspired by her life experiences and the memory of her husband, Kent Matthews, who was killed in action during the Vietnam War. The song debuted June 18th during a public concert that concluded the two-day retreat in Hayworth, hosted by the Freedom Sings USA Central Illinois chapter. Freedom Sings USA is a nonprofit organization that helps veterans, active duty military personnel, and their families share their stories through songwriting. The organization's mission is to promote healing and emotional well-being through music and creative expression. The retreat brought together professional songwriters and veterans from throughout Central Illinois. Participants worked side by side to transform personal stories into original songs that were performed during the closing concert. Manley's song was among six new compositions created during the retreat. Organizers said the songs will be included on the organization's upcoming album, Hayworth, Illinois, Sessions, Volume 2. The event also highlighted the continuing impact of military service on families and honored the stories of veterans and Gold Star families. Organizers noted that the songwriting process gives participants a unique experience with others who understand the challenges of military life. A quick reminder, the first installment of the real estate taxes are due July the 17th. DeWitt County real estate tax bills were mailed by June the 10th. The first installment is due July the 17th, and the second installment is due September the 4th. Residents who have not received their tax bills by June the 19th should contact DeWitt County Treasurer's Office at 217-935-7820. A quick sports note, Dempsey and Graves represent Clinton basketball at IBCA. Pontiac, Clara Dempsey, and Keaton Graves represented Clinton Maroons girls and boys basketball this past week at the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association game held in Pontiac. Shown in the pictures are with head coach Josh Williams is Dempsey, and shown with Graves is the boys' head coach, Vince Binkley. That's all for today, and until next week. So enjoy your week.